Welcome to today's podcast on Safe Digging Sports. This is One on One with Brian Morehouse. Be sure to follow Safe Digging Sports on Facebook and also follow NC811. That's North Carolina 811. Know what's below? Call 811 before you dig to protect your buried utilities. Now, on to the podcast.
Hi, to today's show, I have the pleasure of sitting down with Mike Kelly, who is from Omaha, Nebraska, and one of the Sims 500 iRacing League stars right now, because it sounds like he is really kicking the track around. I'm telling you, you have really done a great job, Mike. Welcome aboard.
Hey, Brian. Thanks for having me on today.
Well, we're glad to have you, and it seems like you were the first winner of the Super Late Model Series for Sims 500 iRacing, and I'm going to tell you, it seems like you've been on a tear since then. There's been a two-man show with that series.
Yeah, as far as winners go, I won the season opener, and then Tommy Ryan won the next two, and then I've won the last two, and I'm also leading the points right now. So following up my championship from last season, pretty well so far.
I would say you have, man. So what have you got to say about your season so far? What have you learned? What are your expectations, and what are you looking forward to?
Well, I've kind of learned that the Super Late Model is my magic car in the Sim 500 Esports Racing League right now. I run a lot of different series with that league, and boy, I just can't seem to do anything wrong in this Super Late Model. I think I've won 7 times in the last 2. I started running it regularly last season and had 4 wins last season. I'm up to 3 wins this season, and I've been lucky when it comes to missing action on the track, and I've been able to run up front and score a lot of bonus points. So everything just seems to be going right in this car. I love driving it. I mean, I drove a dirt super late model in real life back in the day. So I guess it just kind of fits my style of driving. It's kind of a looser driving car, which means, you know, when you're going to the corner, it kind of feels like it wants to spin out a little bit. And I'm used to that feel from driving cars on the dirt. So right in my wheelhouse, and couple that with some good luck, and I'm having a really solid season so far.
Now, when we talk about this car, the Super Late Model, do you drive any other series besides this one with the Sims 500 Racing League?
Yeah, I'm a pretty much a regular. I run on Monday nights in their Premier Series with the Cup car, and I do some truck racing and also the Xfinity car, and then some throwback racing on Saturday nights when I have the time too. So pretty active, running a lot of different cars.
Now, you say you like this one, the best one of all. Tell us a little bit what the setup is like and why this one is a little bit different than maybe the trucks. I think I pretty much know the reasoning with that one, but even the next gen series, why is this one so important?
I think the key with this car, like I mentioned a little bit, just a little bit earlier, was how it's kind of loose. But the other thing is it's a car that's not meant to run on the tracks that we're running it on for the most part. This is a short track car, and this is a unique series that you really wouldn't see in real life, where they're running cars that are meant for short tracks on 1.5-mile tracks and 2-mile tracks like Auto Club. And so what you get is a car that is kind of underpowered for the track. So it's a momentum type of deal, and you got to keep your speed up. So a driver who can get around the track lap after lap without having to lift or get a little bit loose, anytime you get out of the throttle in this car or do anything, turn the wheel even to avoid someone maybe getting out of shape in front of you, anything you do slows this car down. So since I raced go-karts a long time ago, way back in the day, I'm kind of trained in that aspect, maybe better than some guys, simply because of that fact. I'm just very adept at being aware while I'm driving of a situation to have a car where any kind of momentum loss really slows you down. So being able to do that well, I think, keeps me at the front of the pack. I've been able to qualify well, and it's a car that has a lot of side-by-side competition. It's almost like racing at Daytona or Talladega in a cup car, but on a 1.5-mile track. So you have to be good at pack racing, and being able to keep your momentum up and stay up front is kind of the key. So I've done that well in this car. And that's probably something like with the cup cars and cars that have more horsepower, it's not as big as a deal. So that could be the key.
And you talked about you did a little bit of racing on dirt. Tell us a little bit about your history with racing.
I started racing go-karts back in 1983 when I was in high school and got into that pretty seriously after a few years. Ended up doing that for, probably 7-8 years. Did that on a national level and also on dirt, speedway racing, ovals, all around the Midwest. Traveled quite a bit for that. Ran in an organization called the International Karting Federation and was lucky enough to compete at Grand National Championships and actually brought home 5 of those in my kart racing career. And my family owned a racetrack here in Omaha, Nebraska called Sunset Speedway. So I grew up around racing and was at the racetrack all my life. So I transitioned from karts into street stocks and ran at my family's track and a couple different tracks around the area. And was pretty successful at that. Won a championship doing that and then moved up to some Grand National late models, which is like a super late model, but with restricted engines. And won a track championship in that and moved up to super late models and won a championship at that at a track called Eagle Raceway and won a championship at a track called I-80 Speedway, which is still open to this day. So had some good success racing on the dirt and finally gave it up around 2003. Was just getting older and running out of money. So I've been, I was actually got into racing online while I was actually racing in real life, but been doing a lot of sim racing since I retired in 2003.
That's really interesting how you got involved with iRacing. A lot of people don't understand how much time and effort actually goes in to these dirt late models that you'd be racing on Saturday night, and we'll call that real life. But then you ended up turning over to iRacing, and tell us what kind of joy you get out of that. I mean, a lot of people get a lot of adrenaline being out on that track, whether they're racing asphalt or a dirt track. But then you turn over to iRacing, I bet the adrenaline level is still there.
It is still there, and that's one of the main things that got me into it and has kept me into it since I stopped racing. You got to get that adrenaline fix, and I tell people all the time, it's amazing. They don't really realize that, you know, they kind of think it's a game, but they don't realize that when you get at this level and race for people, you know, with people all over the country and do this in a competitive setting, that you find yourself realizing that all the stuff that you had in real life is there, minus the danger of actually dying. So you get hot and sweaty, you get pretty worn out. It's a good work. If you got a force feedback direct drive wheel, it's still a good workout on your arms and shoulders, especially if you're doing dirt racing. Except for the physical G-forces, you're just as worn out after running a 30-lap dirt late model iRacing race as you are in real life. So that's good to have all those aspects of the real-life competition. Once you give it up for real, you kind of miss it. So I've always been into sim racing, and like I said, I was into sim racing before I even quit the real-life stuff. So it's great for me to be able to still get my racing fix 4 times a week, 5 times a week.
And that's one thing I was going to ask you about. You're racing 5 times a week. How many hours a week do you think you're putting in to sim racing?
I just the time that I race in the league, I don't practice. I mean, you get an hour to practice, and I've been doing this for so long. They're all fixed. I mean, the only reason you would really need to practice a lot is if you're in an open setup league.
Right.
Which means you get a, you know, do your own sets. But at Sim 500, it's a fixed setup racing league, which means all the setups are set for every driver. They're the same. So I utilize the time I got to practice before the race starts, and that's it. So I put in probably race 8 or 10 hours a week.
And what kind of setup do you have? This is real interesting for those that may not know a whole lot about sim racing and want to get involved. Tell us a little bit about your setup that you have.
Well, my setup's pretty good and pretty, I've got pretty good equipment. I have a direct drive wheel by AccuForce, or it's called, I'm sorry, the company is Sim Experience. The wheel is an AccuForce. Mm-hmm. And it's a commercial level wheel. The one I got was about an $1,800 wheel, but it should last you for the rest of your life once you get a wheel like that. And I got some Fanatic pedals, V3 pedals, nice little setup. And I have an Obutto sim rig, which is a little custom built chassis that allows my wheel and pedals to be set up in with a racing seat. And then I have a 3-monitor setup with Asus 27-inch monitors. Haven't made the jump to VR yet, but I probably will someday. That way you get rid of your monitors. It's a nice clean setup. So, you know, I've probably got about $3,000 in this setup. But the good thing about iRacing is you don't have to have that to run competitive. I mean, I run against guys right here in this league that have their wheel strapped to a desk, just like a Thrustmaster wheel you can buy on Amazon for about $300, which will give you your wheels and pedals, everything you need to race. So you plug that in and, you know, you can get into iRacing for pretty cheap. And then if you're going to do it regularly and you want to have stuff that's more reliable, then you can spend a little bit more money. It doesn't necessarily make you any faster. It's just going to make you more precise, more consistent, and you want to make sure your stuff doesn't break down when you're running at a serious level. So you want to spend the money to get some equipment that's reliable.
Now, I always want to ask everyone this one question. What do you prefer racing? Do you like road racing? Do you like regular asphalt racing, short track racing, big league? Let's just go ahead and say like a mile, mile and a half tracks. What's your favorite?
Well, I don't really have any, and that's the beauty of iRacing. I was lucky enough. I was running a league back before iRacing existed. I've been, like I said, since 1996. So there was ways you could get together and get into leagues and still race online before iRacing. It was a little more difficult. But as long as you had the NASCAR by Papyrus racing software on your computer, there was places you could gather and race. So I just was fortunate enough to know someone who invited me into the beta at iRacing. And so I was a beta tester, and from that point on, I've been a member ever since. And I've just, since I like all the types of racing that there is, when iRacing went live, they let us keep the software that we had up to that point. And so we had a combination of road racing and oval tracks. And from that point, since I'm into it all, I've just bought every piece of software that they released. So I have every car and every track. And I don't really have any favorites, but as far as league racing, I do mostly NASCAR-type oval racing stuff.
Well, Mike, I really do appreciate you taking the time, sitting down with us and talking one-on-one a little bit about the iRacing leagues and sim. Now, one thing I want you to do, I want you to go ahead and give a big shout-out to all your sponsors.
Yeah, at this point, hey, it's a good thing you brought that up. At this point, I don't really have any real-life sponsors, but in my team, Turn One Heroes, got some good guys that I race with. One of them is an employee for Verizon, so I will tend to run a lot of Verizon stuff on my different car schemes that I run. Usually have a Verizon sticker on there just for him. But I've ran some different sponsors over the year. Right now, I have Quick Car on my super late model, and it's actually just a scheme I picked up that is a show car that was at the PPI show down in Daytona for Quick Car. They're a company that makes gauges and a lot of different stuff for super late models. And also, I've actually, you might be interested to know, a little in negotiations to possibly have a North Carolina 811 on my hood for the upcoming North Carolina 811 series on Monday nights in the Cup Car. So hopefully that'll work out and I'll be running your colors.
Hey, we are really glad for that. Man, that will be awesome to be able to see you out there on the track with the NC811 logo. Now, what number are you in the super late model series?
I am the 2 dog. I've been number 2. My dad raced number 2 on cars back in the day when I was little, and that's been my number all along. So it's 2 for me if I can get it.
Well, Mike, we really do appreciate it. And I want to just make sure that everyone knows Tuesday nights are the night to be able to find the Super Late Model Series. And you'll be able to find that on sim500e-sports/racing-league.
As always, links to Facebook pages and YouTube channels can be found at nc811.org/safe-digging-sports. All of our podcasts are streamed on Podbean, Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, Spotify, Stitcher, and the NC811 app. Know what's below, call before you dig, and stay tuned for the next One-on-One with Brian Morehouse.